This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we'll be discussing gossip and rumors.
Before we do that, Dr. Ken, can I just ask you a quick question about how to talk with our teenagers about what's going on in the Ukraine right now?
Oh, gosh. I don't know about y'all. I think I'm following it too much. It's one of those, you know, like I have this common, since we have so much internet capacity, there's more and more where you can see images and videos and you're stuck with that feeling of what do I do? It doesn't feel like it's across the world. It feels like it's next door, but it is not next door. So, yeah, I've thought about this a lot. I think the question, as usual, we would do on this podcast is because we've had, I think, a couple of emails from, quote, parenting experts, how to talk to your kids about the war and whatever. I think, as you would guess on our podcast, would be how do you talk to teenagers about this? Because if you've got a 7 or 8 year old, please feel free to shelter them from some of the horrifying images. You know, you can certainly look to many sources on how do you comfort a potentially upset child. But this is one of those examples where I think it's really important. If you have a teenager, if you have an adolescent, I actually think that you need to think about if I have a 14, 15, 16 year old or older that hasn't said anything about it and isn't even thinking about it, I think it's a good opportunity to actually talk to them about it. And again, this is where you kind of get at that, wait a minute, that isn't my goal to protect and, you know, all that. Well, a young adult needs to be prepared. And this is one of those that I think is reasonable to talk about that, you know, a parent doesn't have a quick answer to this. This is not what we thought would happen in our world. When I was growing up, the Cold War was expected to have shut down European wars. Like you're not going to be able to do any of that because of the nuclear threat. Well, that's changed now. So I think it's reasonable to talk to your teenagers about, are you reading anything about this? And what do you think? And even tell them, well, I'm just asking because I'm telling you, I don't know what to think. And don't be afraid to do that. Because again, adolescents need to be reminded that your life is no longer a little amusement park ride that we are providing for you, that you are preparing for the world at large, and what do you think about this? And so I just wanted to make sure everyone knows, if you have children, sure, I think being careful and so forth, but with your teenager, if they are not talking about it at all, I would suggest, with exceptions, I mean, if you have a very fragile teenager going through severe depression or anxiety, okay, but if they're functioning, I think it's definitely a time to do the opposite, which is ask them, do they have any thoughts about this? And being, you know, feel free to be a tad surprised with, okay, so you're just thinking about prom. Okay, well, I was just wondering if you knew what's going on in the world around you. Does that surprise you that I would say that? I guess by now, no.
No, doesn't surprise me. And I think, too, we underestimate our teenagers. They're certainly very well aware if they're on social media of what is going on, because it's all you read on social media. But I think it's a good opportunity, again, to revisit with your teens. You know, I talk to my kids about what news sites I'm following, because I know they're legitimate news sites, not right. accepting fake news, not accepting reposts of old old material, that sort of thing. And so how important it is mm-hmm. that you're coming from a valid news source. Yeah, you know, I think there's so many they've shown so many Russian hackers and things like that, where they're trying to infiltrate, you know, US media and that sort of thing to taint people's ideas. And so I think, especially with our fragile teenagers, we might need to have these conversations so that they don't fall prey to that.
TikTok is not a news source.
Nope.
Right.
Not legitimate news source.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It is for teens though. It is for
teens. I know.
And that's why it's important that as a parent, as parents, we're, you know, having these conversations. And even like you said, Dr. Ken, even if we don't have all the answers, just, you know, starting that conversation and hearing, what have you heard? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Right. Right.
You know, and then see like, oh, well, I saw on TikTok, and you're like, oh, red flag. Let's talk about that.
When you see a soldier doing a dance, what are you talking about? Okay. Well, enough of that. Let's talk about gossip and rumors.
So
this one,
Jessica,
this one hits home, right?
this one might have real life application today, this afternoon. It's always something. I have three girls in the house right now. Mm-hmm. The youngest is 11. The oldest is 17. You better bet your bottom dollar that we have a lot of gossip issues going in our house.
Yeah, we're kind of chomping at the bit, Dr. Ken, today to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah.
I find it sexist, by the way, to assume that this goes along more with girls. The fact that it is in fact quite true doesn't help anything. It does absolutely happen much more with girls, but
I guess it's better that we admitted it than you admitted it.
Yeah, I just feel very PC by pointing that out, that this is not politically correct. But yeah, it happens a whole bunch more with girls. Comes up in my office all the time. And, you know, there can be a real sense of hopelessness for some kids that just, you know, I give up. I'm always being talked about, or, you know, I can't believe this group is turned on me and all that stuff. So yeah, it happened. It's a real problem.
So the first time I knew we were going to have problems was when my oldest was in third grade. And she came home and there was a lot of gossip going on between the girls talking about one another. And I thought, let's start a little group. And I found this great curriculum with how to encourage your friends and speak kindly to your friends. And we were going to have a little club and have after school snacks and talk about these things with her friends. You're excited. I know. I was so excited about this. And I started to invite the moms, and one of the moms told me, we'll come, but not if they're coming. And I thought, oh, well, this is really where the problem begins. I didn't even start the program, because I thought, well, if moms at home are not supportive of these ideas of encouraging and speaking kindly and all of this mm-hmm. with their friends, then how in the world are these little girls going to ever grow up and be kind to one another?
Yeah, because this stuff does actually extend into adulthood, doesn't it, ladies?
It does.
And it's been a lesson, you know, that even I'm still aware of, you know, because I think as adult Christian women, it's like, well, we're just going to pray. You know, who needs prayer?
Yeah. The dreaded really needs some prayer chain.
Yeah. So it's still an issue, and it does start really young, Jessica. I've got two second grade girls, you know, and they'll come home and, talk about things going on within their little girl group. But I do feel like it's easier at that age, because mm-hmm. they forgive quicker and extend more grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when they become teens, you know, it's like they're under a magnifying glass, and the emotions are bigger and the feelings are bigger, and there's more sensitivity there. Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. not as easy in the teen mm-hmm. years as it was in second grade.
And, you know, truthfully, we've all been on both sides of the coin. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we've been the one to gossip and get in trouble with that. And we've been the one to receive some of those gossips and rumors, you know, and so it's important as moms that we address both issues, because our kids are not always innocent in the situation. You hear, you know, half the story sometimes when your kids are coming home with it.
That's especially true for Christian folks, that, you know, any of that thought of, well, at least I'm not that. You know that that's going to heading for a fall. I mean, the reason it's harmful is because it's not good for the one who is on the receiving end of this kind of stuff and not good for the one dishing it out. And we know exactly which both sides are.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about when your kid is the one dishing it out. Let's start with that side of it.
Okay, well, that's a tough one because, you know, it depends on your reaction. Most of the parents I have that find that out, number one, it is surprising how often parents will go light on that, sort of like, well, that's what they said, but I just can't believe my little sweetheart, whatever. So I think it's important, like the kind of the attitude both of y'all have said, that I wouldn't be stunned by it. It is definitely the kind of thing all of us are capable of. So there's no reason to absolutely not believe it if that's what it seems to be pointing to. But then secondly, like anything else, I would think about your intervention is different with a child, like Ashley, you're talking about like a second grader, third grader versus a sophomore, junior, because always remember that, you know, if you want to be influential, then your teenager first needs to know, is this a have to talk or is this advice? And as upsetting as it may be to you, or even your, you know, it may offend your righteous sensibilities, it's advice. So it would need, you know, talking and influencing your kid's social life is always very difficult because you're not there. You can't really exert control. So it would start with the discussion of just, you know, this is why it concerns me. And I'm not even sure if it concerns you, and really listen to them. Because, you know, this is one of those things, it's not that simple. Teenagers are pretty complicated with, yeah, you're right, mom, but you have no idea what this girl is like. You know, like there's a reason. This isn't gossip. This is what really needs to be said out there or whatever. So you need to be careful in recognizing with a teenager what you can and can't accomplish. And you'll accomplish more if you stay in the position of, well, I just really wanted to kind of talk about it because it's concerning to me. But, you know, maybe I'm misunderstanding this. You know, make sure that they hear that you respect their perspective on this, because no one that's a big gossip, when you're confronted suddenly like a TV show, gets all red faced and says, well, you're right, I shouldn't be doing that. This is an exception. It's different. You don't understand and all that. So you really, it has to be in the area of advice and communication if you're going to intervene at all.
Mm-hmm. What if your teenager kind of digs their heels in and feels justified by what they're saying?
Yes, that's exactly. Well, in that case, then this is one of those where the only thing is you want to let them know, look, the only reason I'm bringing this up and I'll stop is because I'm trying to help you. I think this is going to land flat for you. But, you know, maybe you're right. And this has to be the kind of thing that the natural consequences will do their work. I mean, it's we advise our kids about stuff, but you can't expect a teenager to always assume that, well, since my parent, who's a grown-up, knows these things, they're not going to believe that we get it. So I think that's a good, it's very likely what you'll hear is, you know, that this is, you don't get it. And this is, I'm kind of outraged by this. And I would let that go. Like, well, I'm just trying to help you. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think this is going to blow up in your face.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at one point or another, it will blow up. And your kid will come home crying because now her friend won't speak to her because she found out what she said. And it's this whole big dramatic scene. Is it appropriate to tell your kid, well, you deserve that?
That's kind of what. That's what
if
you guys
said that, then you deserve it.
Yes. You'd wiggle your finger and go, this is what I told you. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what
so
you thought,
number one, it's a good thing that your daughter is actually coming to you and talking to you about it. Because if you're too preachy, I've known a lot of kids that suffer with being, you know, gossiped about and whatever, but no, they're not going to tell their parents. It's useless. So
well, they might not be completely honest about it. They might be like, well, that's not really what I said.
That's true. That's true.
They changed it. And you think, I don't know about that.
When they're but the thing is, when they're experiencing the natural consequence, you need to avoid the temptation to own it as if this is what you're doing to them. See, this is what this has nothing to do with you. This, if it has anything to do with you, it's a fellow adult that, wow, I hate this. That's kind of what I was thinking would happen, but I wasn't sure. And here's the other thing. It's fine to kind of tell your kids that part of the reason, you know, is because you did it as well. Mm-hmm. But I never recommend you overdo that. You know, this is not confession to a teenager with, well, let me tell you a story once where I caused the murder of a friend of mine. I mean, whatever. That's just too much for them. It's really more it's fine to let them know in a general way that, look, I know you're saying that you didn't do it, but part of the reason I think you might have said that is because that's the kind of thing I kind of did some and I hated it. So that you stay as, the point is that you stay as a colleague walking alongside of a teenager that's probably going to be pretty defensive, and you want to try to remain open, or at least that communication open. And so, yeah, when she comes home crying, you don't need to be the one to go, aha, that's not a good idea.
That's karma for you.
That's
right.
That's funny. Okay, Dr. Ken. So what if our teen comes home and they're the victim of the gossip and rumors? Mm-hmm. How do we handle that? Because they're not little ones anymore. And the things that used to work when they were little aren't going to work as teens.
Yeah. Same thing is the first thing is you're going to want to step in with, okay. So I'll call her mom and then you, and don't do that. You know,
we'll go to her house.
That's right. Right now. Mm-hmm. It's important that, you know, these are the kind of character building events that, you know, they need to figure out how they're going to handle themselves. So secondly, I would differentiate between a teenager that is now currently involved in a kind of being gossiped about and a teenager that is pretty often being involved in that. I've had a lot of kids that they're the target many times over throughout adolescence. And I really do talk with them about, okay, so yeah, I get it that these kids are jerks, but why is it you? Why are you a lightning rod for all of this stuff? And it's important for a teenager to first hear the message that this is really bad, but I don't want to just talk about how evil all these kids at your school are. I'm not saying you're causing it, but what do you think? What have you done? And especially if this has happened before, what about you is causing this to be a lightning rod? That's a lot of parents feel like that's that's just too rough. I would just argue that that's for a teenager. That's what they need to gain their own agency in how to handle this stuff. It's not just about you fixing it for them. So if you have a teenager that is regularly the target, there's some pretty common reasons for that. One is some teenagers are just not very good socially. You know, real ADD kids are, they can miss subtle social cues, and you can kind of see it when they're talking to their friends, and you can, that sometimes they'll be talking and you can just tell, okay, dude, you're missing what they were just talking about. This is kind of embarrassing or whatever, that you can maybe try to talk to them about. And the other one is, the biggest one is when you're a group that's picking on someone, it's virtually always because this kid is perceived as being alone. So I'll always ask, you know, when that whole group was snapping and you weren't there and all that stuff, and you thought they were going to invite you, of that group, which is the one that you're most disappointed in? Who is it that you really thought we were closer to? And if they say nobody, then I'm like, dude, those aren't your friends. But most of the time, there's at least one that, well, I kind of can't believe that she would do that. Mm-hmm. Then you need to talk to her, that, you know, that's a friendship that you can, if you're close enough, a friend that you have where we can talk through that, hey, I don't understand why they did this and why you would participate. That's part of what I've said over and over again. You really need to encourage close friendships with one or two. And that helps navigate all this stuff, including group meanness, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's really important when they're spreading gossip that what's mainly needs to happen is when your kid isn't there, their friend will say, hey, once you shut up, you don't know what you're talking about, that will actually stand up for your kid. And that is getting smaller and smaller group. I would definitely mm-hmm. talk to your kid about, you know, when they're telling you, well, you know, they're all saying this about so-and-so. I think it's good to tell your kid, well, what did you say? Well, I didn't say anything. Wow. Nothing. I would hope that they would say something, you know, your friend would speak up for you if that were you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an important point, is that even if you're not the one being gossiped about and you're not gossiping, you can sit there silently and not do anything about it. And I think it's important to encourage our kids to be brave and sometimes put a halt to it or say, I don't right. feel that way about her at all. Walk away from the conversation and make it clear that you're not going to be a part of pulling someone else down.
Silence is almost always assumed that the person that's talking assumes you must agree because you're silent. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot with therapists.
What about adults? So let's say it's another teenager who's gossiping, but the mom is also a part of it. How do you talk to your teen about that? Because I think it's even more hurtful when a parent gets involved. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
And so like, how do you explain that to your teen, that some adults don't grow up and don't, you know, like don't learn from those things? How do you explain that to your teen?
Well, I think the teenage perspective is less about, let's talk about what is going on with that mother that would do that, as much as I would frame it as, wow, that's really still treating that teenager like they're a kid. Like this mother is involving herself and needs to protect her and talk and all that. And you really want to take the position of, wow, she doesn't really seem to respect that, you know, her daughter needs to be dealing with this, not her mom. I've had moms that texted a teenager to say, I can't believe that you would say this about my kid. And again, you could certainly say things about, well, that's aggressive, or what are you, nuts? But the bigger thing is, do you, what is your teenager that you're texting me about? Eight? Now, this is a teenager. If she's upset, I think she needs to be able to speak for herself. And, you know, so I would start with it that way, because it's tricky business to start in agreeing, as you know, agreeing with, that mom, here's some other stories I know about that mom that's jumping into the same very thing that they're doing. So I think the key there is, from a teenager's perspective, what is this mom being involved in this at all for? You know, that only complicates it. And does she not seem to trust her daughter to handle this herself?
I think it's hard as a mom to not jump into those things and get emotionally invested in your kids' issues. And I think that's an important point, to step back and look at this and say, this is not my problem. This is my teenager's problem to deal with. And I can coach them through it, but I cannot be the one meddling in it and fixing it between, you know, calling the other mom and saying, hey, did you know what your kid said about mine? Or
do not call that. That's the other
nonsense
mom.
That nonsense is really prevalent.
Oh, it is. And it, you know, that happens a bunch, that I went ahead and talked to that mom, and here's what's really going on. You are treating your teenager like they're seven, and it's a play date. And that is, it doesn't help any of your kids grow in character. And I think, since we keep talking about girls and their moms, I should point out the reason that this sort of issue, gossip and rumors and so forth, is a bigger deal with girls. And it's not only girls that do it, but it is vastly, the number is vastly larger among girls, is because girls still have, we talked about this, their relationship style still is very much involved in connection and closeness. And so most of the time, rumors and gossip is a way of kind of doing a dance where, if we agree that this person isn't with us now, that the implied thing is that we're closer in that, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so it's really a dance of loyalty and connection to each other. That is why it's so important among girls. You know, they're called mean girls. Well, guys are violent guys. I don't see why is that, you know, why are we thinking girls are meaner in this area when it comes to relationship savvy and managing the connection with as many people? That's what girls tend to work with a lot. The winner sort of is the girl that is connected to more people and is liked by more people. And it's a tricky game to do that. And sometimes, especially in early adolescence, one of the more immature, loud, vocal girls that is pretty mean can establish at some points a kind of a top dog for a while, just because no one will stand up to her, that sort of thing. That's the sort of thing you really want to make sure that your teenagers, and your advice is that, you know, that's just group stuff. No, that's not going to make any difference. What did so-and-so say? Because she was over here last week. Talk to her and really encourage the individual relationships. Because like I say, in group dynamics, even poor character can sometimes for a while, you know, sort of be winning, and that's no good.
Well, these are good words, Dr. Ken. And I think that any mother of a daughter or daughters can relate to this whole conversation. I know that it's a part of their dynamics with their friendships. Nearly every week, there's someone that's hurt over something that's said. So thank you guys for discussing this important topic today.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.